Okay, go ahead and turn over to Galatians chapter 1, if you will. Galatians 1, we're going to look specifically this morning at verses 11 through 24, okay? Galatians chapter 1, verses 11 through 24. I thought that this is going to be my last sermon in Indispensable Gospel, but the Lord has other plans for that, so there are going to be some more beyond today. So we're not quite done with the gospel yet, okay? So Galatians chapter 1, verses 11 through 24. You know, thinking of the word gospel, I think we understand what it means. It's a Bible term that means good news. It literally means good news. But the word gospel occurs about 93 times in the Bible. I mean, give or take a few. But we understand, for our intents and purposes, that the gospel is primarily mentioned in the New Testament, and that's understandable. I mean, you think about Jesus and what he did for us. But the gospel is simply the good news concerning Christ and the way of salvation. It relates to the saving acts of God, right? It's centered upon Jesus Christ. It's centered upon his atoning work on the cross, the resurrection of the dead. Its context is the storyline that we understand as Christians, the word that we proclaim. It's all about the gospel. It tells the story of creation, of humanity, humanity's rebellion against God, how people from all nations are restored to relationships with God through the person of Jesus. And a key theme of the gospel is that God offers a new life, new forgiveness through Jesus. And so this morning we're going to look at a familiar passage, one that I've used before, but changed up a little bit because the Lord showed me some new things here. But our passage, we're going to look at three important things that pertain to the gospel. So let's take a look together and then we'll get into it. Galatians chapter 1, verses 11 through 24. And this is Paul writing here. And he says, Paul, an apostle, not from men or by man. I'm sorry, we're going to start in verse 11, not verse 1. Verse 11. Now I want you to know, brothers, that the gospel preached by me is not based on human thought. For I did not receive it from a human source, and I was not taught it, but it came by a revelation from Jesus Christ. For you have heard about my former way of life in Judaism. I persecuted God's church to an extreme degree and tried to destroy it. I advanced in Judaism beyond my contemporaries among my people because I was extremely zealous for the traditions of my ancestors. But when God, who from my birth set me apart and called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his Son in me so that I could preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately consult with anyone. I did not go up to Jerusalem to those who had become apostles before me. Instead, I went to Arabia and came back to Damascus. Then after 3 years, I did go up to Jerusalem and get to know Cephas, and I stayed with him 15 days, but I didn't see any of the other apostles except James, the Lord's brother. I'm not lying in what I write to you. God is my witness. Afterward, I went to the regions of Syria and Cilicia. I remained personally unknown to the Judean churches in Christ. They simply kept hearing, he who formerly persecuted us now preaches the faith he once tried to destroy, and they glorified God because of me. That's a key verse, and we're going to talk about that in a minute. But there's three specific things that I want to mention this morning as we look at this Galatians chapter 1. The first thing is this. Number one, the gospel did not come from man. The gospel didn't come from man. The gospel that Paul preached was the true gospel. The gospel was not thought up by Paul, wasn't thought up by any other person. It's not a belief that's been handed down through tradition or stories. The gospel has its origin in Jesus Christ. Amen? And one of the things, if you go back and study anthropology, I don't know if any of you ever took any class like that in college, but one of the things that anthropologists generally talk about whenever they study other cultures is that a lot of them created some kind of religion to follow or to worship or something that was some kind of human-centered origin of religion. Many of these anthropologists say that religion begins with humans trying to find something in which to believe. Because I believe there's a reason for that. I believe that we're created for God and we want to worship God, and people are trying to figure out what that means. And if they don't have the truth, then they're going to just invent something. But many of these anthropologists say that religion begins with humans trying to find something in which to believe. Now, for instance, consider Hinduism. Now, if you don't know anything about Hinduism, Hinduism is the third largest religion in the world. They have about 1.2 billion followers. But the thing about Hinduism is it doesn't have a particular founder. There's not a single text that they can look to, but instead it combines several different ancient beliefs and traditions and among different cultures. Now, the oldest scripture in Hinduism is the Rig Veda. I have no idea. I just looked that up. It's believed to be about 3,500 years old. But archaeologists have found even stuff before that that pointed to Hinduism, like bull and cow images and idols, which are very sacred to people that in Hinduism. Today, Hinduism is practiced by billions of people around the world, but primarily in India and the surrounding countries. But the thing that I want to understand is Hinduism is a man-made religion. And think about that. 1.2 billion followers of a religion that was created by human beings. And that's what Paul is saying. Listen, the Christ that I preach, the religion that I preach, the gospel that I preach didn't come from human beings. So here's the thing, without God's revelation, and if we're left to our own intellect, people have created gods who represent power, sometimes even evil power. But when humans make up their own religions, they become more or less the captain of their own soul. And they are tasked with a way of finding a way to please their gods through human effort. But the gospel is not from man. It's from God. It's about Jesus. Amen? Jesus, yeah, he walked the face of the earth, but he was abnormally born. Conceived, Mary was conceived by the Holy Spirit. She had not been with anybody, and she was pregnant. That's how we know it was from God. And guys, this is not just some cute little story that was passed down. We have evidence that that happened. We have eyewitnesses that saw that happen. So our gospel does not come from man. We didn't receive the gospel by human effort or by finding a way to please Jesus. We receive the gospel by accepting the free gift of forgiveness that God offers through the sacrifice of his Son. So that's the first thing that Paul wants us to understand, that the gospel didn't come from man. The second thing that Paul mentions here in quite a big part of the text here in verses 13 through 23 is that the gospel is about God's grace. The gospel is about God's grace. Listen, again, the gospel cannot be of human invention, because the gospel is totally opposite of pride and the love of power. It's about grace and about humility. The gospel is all about grace. In other words, we receive something that we did not deserve, the forgiveness of sins. It's not based upon self-effort. We don't earn it. We can't do enough good things to receive the gospel. This is what makes the true gospel and the way to salvation different from all the other religions that are out there. I don't know how many are out there, but there's a lot of them. And it seems like more and more belief systems are coming up around us, and I'm thinking, people are just so hungry to believe in something that they'll believe in stuff like scientism and you know, all this stuff. I mean, you look into some of these other religions that people are part of, they think Christianity is weird. If you look into some of these other things, man. I mean, at least we don't believe that we're going to inhabit our own planet one day and produce spiritual babies for the rest of time. We don't believe that, but the Mormons do. I'm not trying to bash Mormons or bash any other. I'm just saying it's the fact of the matter. It's based on human thinking. But the fact that the gospel is totally opposite of that. It's not based upon humanity. It's not based upon pride or the love of power. It's all about God's grace. And the fact that Paul was forgiven for the things that he did before knowing Christ proves that the gospel is about God's grace. We all know Paul's prior life, and he mentions some of it here. His previous life included being one of the most religious Jews of his day. He was far above his contemporaries, okay? He was zealous in his beliefs, and he far outdid everybody else that was going through the same thing. He tirelessly kept the traditions of his faith. He sought out to persecute others who didn't follow his faith and were following Jesus. And really, not only did he seek out to persecute the church, what did he say? I wanted to destroy it. He wanted for it to be gone, eradicated, nothing left of it. He was totally convinced that Christianity was a false religion. It was a threat to his way of believing, a threat to Judaism. He described himself as zealous. You know what that means? This was a term used to describe those who were violent in the way they observed what they thought to be the laws of God. He had been sincere in his zeal, but he was wrong. And he admitted that. I mean, listen, Paul was a bad dude. And you better not get in his way, because he's a guy that could probably handle himself. I wouldn't have wanted to mess with him. But as bad as Paul was, he said, this is my previous life. This is who I used to be. That old guy is not here anymore. When he met Christ, his life changed forever. He was forgiven. He began to direct all of his energy toward the building of the church and God's kingdom. Paul went from persecuting the church to being persecuted for his faith in Jesus Christ. He spent years of his life in prison. I mean, that's the reason we have a lot of the gospel, or a lot of the New Testament, because Paul wrote these letters. I don't have anything else to do. I'm hearing all this stuff going on. I'm going to write letters to encourage the churches. But he spent years of his life in prison. God got a hold of Paul's life. His conversion only happened because of the grace of God. Amen? If anybody didn't deserve it, it was Paul. Remember what Jesus said to him when he was on the road to Damascus? He said, Paul, why are you persecuting me? And God, through Jesus Christ, got a hold of Paul's life that day, and he was changed forever by the power of the gospel. And so what Paul wrote in these verses creates a brief account of his spiritual life. For us, you know, listen, we probably don't have the kind of past that Paul has, and that's okay. I hope that you don't. If you do, man, there's still hope for you, amen, because God can forgive even the hardest of hearts. But listen, we probably don't have the sordid past that Paul had, but we still have a personal testimony. And an essential part of inviting others to believe in Christ involves telling them why and how we became Christians. This is who I was. This is how God entered my life, and this is who I am now. That's your personal testimony. And I don't care if you were a kid or an adult, young adult, older adult. It doesn't really matter. What matters is, this is who I was. I came to the realization I had sin in my life. I invited Jesus to come be my Lord and Savior, and I committed my life to follow Him, and this is who I am now. This is how God has changed my life. This is what is a part of my life now. And we all have that if we're followers of Christ. And guys, we need to think very deeply about how God has worked graciously in our lives and how we can be and how that can be one of the very best motivators in telling others about Christ. Is what He's done in our lives personally. Let me ask you a question this morning, and this is something we've talked about before, but I'm going to just remind you of it again, and it's a good reminder to me. If somebody gave you a brief opportunity where you're out and about doing whatever, at work, school, pumping gas, wherever, at the grocery store, if somebody gave you a brief opportunity, would you be able to share your testimony in a very clear and concise way, maybe even just a minute, what would you say? We need to think about that. We need to practice it. We need to be ready for the opportunity, because let me tell you, it's going to come one day. It's going to come. A lot of you have been praying for people, individuals. Listen, it's God's will for them to come to know Christ. And if you pray and you're sincere about that prayer, guess what? God's going to give you an opportunity to share the gospel with them. So we better be ready. We don't want to miss the opportunity. And so sometimes we just have maybe 30 seconds, a minute. What would you say to somebody if they ask you, how do I become a Christian? What does Jesus mean to you? And be ready to tell them. The gospel is about God's grace. Your testimony should consider and should tell people about the grace of God. That's what Paul did, and that's what we should do. The last thing that I want us to notice here is the very last verse, verse 24. What did Paul say? Look at that. He said, and they glorified God because of me. What's Paul talking about there? Basically, he's saying the gospel brings glory to God. You see, Paul's changed life apparently brought joy to the other believers who had seen him and heard about him. His new life was amazing. And we've all seen that before. Think about some people that you've known in a previous life, maybe yourself. He's like, man, I can't believe the change that they've gone through. For instance, okay, let me just give you a for instance. How many of you know who Alice Cooper is? Yeah, he's a really horrible guy that used to be in a rock band and did horrible things. But let me just tell you, this guy's a follower of Christ now. And I'm telling you, it's legit. It's not just some hoax or something that's like, you know, he's doing this for publicity. Man, this guy sold out to Jesus now. If God can get a hold of a guy, I don't even know his real name. Alice Cooper is not his real name. But if God can get a hold of a guy like Alice Cooper, He can get a hold of anybody. And we sometimes look at stuff like that. It's like when Kanye West said that he was a follower of Christ. Everybody's like, oh, that's a bunch of baloney. He'll fall back. How do we know that? Give the guy a chance. Pray for him. You think about the kind of influence that somebody like Kanye West has. Man, God could really use him. Instead of mocking him, why not pray for him? Say, let's pray for this guy that this would be a genuine following. But if God can change people like that, we've all seen it. We've all know people that were so hardened and so contrary to the gospel that are now Christians. Why are we surprised when it happens? And that's exactly what happened here. The people were amazed when they looked at Paul's life. They praised God because only God could have turned this zealous persecutor into a follower of Christ. And again, we may not have that much of a dramatic change as Paul, but our new life should still honor God in every way. Amen? When people look at you, and when they look at me, do they recognize God has made a difference in your life? Did they notice something different about you and me? Were we just the same as everybody else? Our lives should begin to be different than they were before we became followers of Christ. I like what Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. He said, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and look, new things have come." Man, that is so beautiful. And that is the gospel in a nutshell. God takes old things and he turns them into new things. Once we become a follower of Christ, Paul says that we become a brand new person with a brand new identity. The old self is passed away. The old refers to everything that is a part of our old nature. Natural pride, love of sin, reliance on works, our former opinions, our habits, our passions. And most significantly, what we loved before has passed away. All these things have passed away. The new person, the person who has made Jesus the Lord of their life, looks outwardly toward Christ instead of inwardly toward self. The old things have died. Our old way of life is gone. It was nailed to the cross and forgiven once and for all when Jesus said it is finished. The new person delights in the things of God and despises the things of the world and our flesh. Our purposes, our feelings, our desires, our understandings are all different now. The way we, our worldview, how we look at the world is looking at it through a different lens now. There are new feelings towards people, even people that are our enemies. We begin to think differently of them and pray for them and feel burdened for them. The way we spend our money, the way we plan out our calendar, what is important to us now has all of a sudden changed because Jesus Christ dwells inside of us. The old has passed away and the new has come. That's what Jesus, and that's a beautiful reminder of baptism, right? When we have baptism here, we love it when that happens. When a person goes under the water, it's symbolic of dying to that old way of life. When they come up out of the water, it's symbolic of being a new creation in Christ, being born again. Amen? Amen. That's what it symbolizes. This is the change that comes about from having a personal relationship with Jesus. And when others see that, they give glory to God. That's what Jesus said. Let your good works shine before, let the light of Christ shine so that people may see our good works and do what? Give glory to the Father who's in heaven. Our lives should be a living testimony of God's grace and His power and His mercy. Our lives should always bring glory to Him. Just like Paul's did. Again, your testimony is not going to be that dynamic as Paul's, but that's okay. Your personal testimony is still powerful. And guys, yes, we still get it wrong. We're still going to blow it. We still make mistakes. That old self creeps in sometimes and gets a hold of us and rears its ugly head. But when that happens, we can just remind Satan, you know what? This is my old self. This is not who I am anymore. And God gives us a second chance. And He uses us and restores us and makes us His again. And so He can still use us. You know, there are people in your life that need to hear that today. Maybe you need to hear it. Maybe you've needed to hear that message for yourself. I mean, that's where it starts. Do you need Jesus in your heart and life? Do you need the kind of change that Paul went through, that radical change? And we've talked about how our world is ignoring God's design, and when we ignore God's design, that always leads to brokenness. Sin leads to brokenness. When we don't follow God's way, we're going to see the things that we see in our world today. That is not God's design. Murder and hatred and lawlessness And all the things that we see today that are a part of our world, that is not God's design. But the reason we see that is because people have ignored God's design. And when we ignore God's design, it leads to brokenness. And we see it all around us. That's why people need the gospel. The gospel is good news. When Jesus encountered people in the Bible, I don't care if they were sinful people. A lot of them were. He always pointed them to good news. He always offered them good news. He always offered them a way out. The ones that he got onto and gave a hard time to were already the religious people, the Pharisees. Because they didn't quite understand it. It was a show for them, external. But Jesus is concerned about our heart. So maybe you need to hear that message today, or you know somebody that needs to hear. Are you praying for them? Are you looking for opportunities to share the gospel? To share your personal testimony, to share the three circles, to share a parable with that we've talked about. There's so many ways. God has created so many ways for us to point people to Jesus. And listen, not everybody's going to accept. Some people are going to blow us off and say, I don't want to hear that. At that point, we just love them and pray for them, and we've done our part. God is the one that does the saving. We just proclaim the message. But there are lots of people. I know there are lots of people that are hurting today that desire something different. They just don't know what it is. And that's where you and I come in. Share the gospel, because the gospel is indispensable. It's what people need today. Father, we thank you today for what you've done and what you're doing in our lives. And Lord, we see the brokenness all around us, and it just breaks our heart. People would just accept you. Things would be so different. And Lord, we lift these people up to you. And we pray, Father, that you would open their eyes to their need for you. Lord, help them to be able to understand the gospel. Father, reveal it in a way that they can understand it. And give us the words to say, as we rely upon the power of your Holy Spirit, give us the words to say to them so they can understand. Father, we just ask you right now to have your way in us, in the decisions that we need to make. We commit this invitation time to you. And we ask all this in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.